Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and his love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I've been talking to you for these 2 weeks about God's flawless chronology, which we can discern as we read Christian biographies. I want to encourage you to read Christian biographies. It's a wonderful way to watch the work of God in a man or a woman's life. And read the biographies of the Bible. Read the story of Moses, Samuel, David, Paul. I'm going to give you today some examples of God's amazing chronology in my own life. I've told you some stories during these talks. Last February, we were to be in Dubuque for 2 meetings on a Friday night, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. We were supposed to change in Chicago. We discovered that the Chicago airport was closed, according to the captain, and we were diverted to Minneapolis. We sat on the runway in Minneapolis because there were no gates available. So many other flights had been diverted to Minneapolis. We sat there for, I've forgotten, an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. No one could get off the plane. Even the poor people that had been planning to change in Chicago and go to Minneapolis, they were not able to get off because there were no gates. We got back to Chicago. We found out that the flight to Iowa had been canceled. A man was supposed to pick us up at 6:30 and drive us. Now, we had left home at 5:45 in the morning. When this man came in to find us, my husband had gone to look for this man. So I said to the man, "Is your car in a safe place?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, it's fine." And he said, "They'll let me sit there for a little while." Well, when my husband got back, we went out to the curb, and guess what? The car had been towed. It was impounded. We had to take a train and a bus to go out to the lot to get the car. Our poor host had to pay $115 to get the car out of the lot. And on our way to Dubuque, we had a blowout. It was snowing, sleeting, and raining. And we got there around midnight. Now, for us, I confess, this didn't really seem like a flawless chronology. But it was God who sent the sleet and the snow. God, who knew about the 700 women who were expecting me at 4 o'clock and again at 6 o'clock that evening. God knew about the flooded streets, which had delayed the man who was to pick us up, and the long wait and the blowout and all the rest of it. But somebody in Dubuque had happened to have a video, an Elizabeth Elliot video, so that's what they used to fill that time. And several women told me that they were greatly blessed by the message that they heard on the video, and if I had gotten there, they would have heard a different message, different from what they saw. Is that enough of a reason why we had all these delays? Not to our human calculations. What have our human calculations got to do with it? I'll tell you another story. I get asked very often, "How did you get into writing books?" The story is a very strange one. Two men were in a taxi. They were strangers to each other. They got into conversation. It turned out that one of them was a pilot with American Airlines, and the other was very much involved in the airline industry. One of them was connected with Lear Jets. The other, the pilot with American Airlines, had a brother in the Ecuador jungle who was a pilot. They began to talk about news that 5 men had been lost in the jungle. Jerry, the man who was connected with Lear Jets, knew a man named Cornell Kappa. Jerry said to this man who had a brother in the jungle, whose name the man happened to be Sam Saint, his brother was named Nate Saint, and Jerry said to Sam, "Well, you've heard about the men being lost in the jungle." He said, "I think there's a story there. I know a photojournalist named Cornell Kappa. He works with Life magazine. Don't you think that we ought to make a call to him and tell him about this thing in Ecuador?" So Jerry called Cornell Kappa. Cornell Kappa was assigned to go to Ecuador through Life magazine. And he was there at the time when we five widows were waiting for word as to whether our husbands were dead or alive. During those several days, I spent many hours talking with Cornell Kappa. He asked me if my husband had kept journals. I said yes. He wanted to see some of those journals, and so I gave him some excerpts. Now, why would God allow Sam and Jerry to meet each other in that taxi? If it hadn't been for that, Cornell Kappa would not have gone to Ecuador. He took pictures of the widows. He went to the beach where the men had been slain. There was a story that came out in Life magazine. As a result of that story, New York publishers were asking for a full-length book. This request came to us widows. All of us looked at each other blankly. None of us was a writer. We all said, "Not me, not me, not me." We found someone to write the book, but the publishers were not satisfied with the result. And so some months later, about 9 or 10 months later, I received a radio message on my jungle station telling me that a journalist was coming from New York to my station with some questions. I took it for granted that the book had been written by this other person, and that perhaps there were some editorial things that they wanted to make sure were accurate, and that they were sending this person to my jungle station in order to ask some questions. And I assumed that the other widows likewise had been interviewed by this lady. She came to my jungle station. She began asking me questions about Jim Elliot. And I said, "Well, I've written a book about Jim Elliot. It's called Shadow of the Almighty. It's just in manuscript form. It's really just a rough draft. But maybe the best thing would be for you to just read my manuscript and then decide whether or not you have questions tomorrow morning." So the lady stayed overnight. She stayed up practically all night reading by candlelight. In the morning, she had a couple of questions to ask, and she left. That lady happened to be a friend of Cornell Kappa. He was the one who had suggested that she should go to the jungle. She returned to New York and told Harper that she had found an author. The author's name was Elizabeth Elliot. Now, of course, I knew nothing about any of these machinations that were going on elsewhere. All I knew was one day I got a radio message from Harper asking me if I would please come to New York for the final editing of this book, which was called Through Gates of Splendor, the final editing. It so happened that I was able to go there. And it wasn't until just 2 or 3 years ago that I learned why I was sent to New York. It was because Cornell Kappa had told Life magazine that there is a woman who could write this book. His conversations with me, her reading the rough draft of my biography of Jim Elliot, had led to my being asked to rewrite the book called Through Gates of Splendor. And so that's how I got into writing, of course. If Sam and Jerry had not met in that taxi, I would never have been sitting in that hotel trying to write the book Through Gates of Splendor. Flawless chronology. God knows exactly what he's doing. My times are in his hands. Psalm 31:15 says, "My times are in his hands." A flawless chronology. Isaiah 33:6 says, "He will be the sure foundations of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The fear of the Lord. Do you fear him in the sense of respect, honor, tremble before him? We should. What's happened to reverence in these days? The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Stability. I told you yesterday the story of Robert E. Lee, of his decision to become the president of what was considered a very poor, very humble, very out-of-the-way little college. Lee's life was a life of prayer, of humble obedience, and of courage. The timing of the way in which God engineers this universe is a mystery to us, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to rest ourselves in those everlasting arms. They're never going to let go, absolutely never. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Will you trust him?
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.